No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
Angel Reese y McDonald's tienen la clave para un post-game meal de campeones. Una QPC con salsa barbecue y tocino, papitas y un refresco. Los pros le llaman el Angel Reese Special. Llévate el Angel Reese Special solo en McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
There's plenty of coverage earlier today on this station, as there was in other stations, I'm sure, of that stabbing incident on Ann Street, Duke Lane Upper in Dublin city centre over the weekend. The CCTV footage of say was pretty ubiquitous throughout the weekend, certainly all day Sunday. Lots of people will have seen it. And I would wager the reaction from some might have been, well, this just kind of proves my point. Dublin city centre, no-go area, why would I bother? Well, Ray O'Donoghue is with me. He's Dublin's nighttime economy advisor. Ray, what do you say to people when you hear that type of sentiment?
Well, first of all, hearing on the tip, my condolences to that poor chap's family and friends and anyone who knew him, because it was, you know, it was a horrific accident, or incident, should I say. And really, that's just, I guess it's reinforcing certain people's perception of the city. But, I mean, we also have to take it into some kind of perspective, and we do have a capital that's 25% bigger than it was 10, 12 years ago. There's 2 million people in Greater Dublin. There's 8 million tourists coming in every year. So there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of people coming and going day in, day night in, night out. There was 500,000 people in the city, moved around the city, went to events last June. So I think that's the perspective. I'm not trying to play down this horrific incident by any means, and it was hopefully just a one-off incident, and we won't see too many more of them, and thankfully we don't see too many of them. But I think we do, you know, that perspective, that there's so much activity in the city that these incidents will happen, and every city has an edge, and we, of course, there is an edge to Dublin, but it's not Gotham City. It's certainly not. I mean, every day, you say it yourself, you're in every day as well. It's not.
No, well, I'm kind of wanted to talk to you as well about this was, you know, when something like this happens, and again, I guess this is a broader conversation rather than about that awful incident.
Sure.
Because investigations will kind of continue apace there, but we'll have no shortage of people who get in touch with the show and they'll say exactly what I said at the outset, kind of. It's a no-go. I'd never go in there. And yet I leave here, say, particularly on a Thursday and Friday at 7 o'clock, I leave our studios in the middle of Dublin city centre and I make my way out and it's heaving. Like, sure. It's absolutely heaving, particularly at Thursdays. Yeah. I think people are working from home, maybe on Fridays.
Thursday's the new Friday.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of flies in the face of this narrative that it's kind of just, it's a kind of a city kind of full of people engaging with kind of homelessness or drug services and nothing else at night. Sure. It's far, far from it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that, because that is the truth as well. I mean, this is a high profile thing and it's a horrific incident. We won't dwell on it because, you know, there's been enough said about it. But I think from my perspective, the things that I can control, we're trying to enhance safety in the city. We introduced a safe zone over the Christmas period, the busy Christmas period, and that was received really well. There was good positive feedback from the public in general. They were glad to see it there. It was there at 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning. We're bringing that in on a permanent basis. We know how it can work better. It'll be in every weekend fairly soon. We're working on that at the minute. We did a safe and sound campaign, which was antisocial behaviour. It's just trying to slightly change that culture of antisocial. Go out, have a good time, but be sound at the same time. You know, treat others with respect. So they're the only things I can have control over, those tangible initiatives. And I'll just keep working away.
Yeah.
Dust yourselves down a bit from this and just keep working away and spreading the good word of the city.
Yeah. You know, we're all human and we all suffer from a thing called confirmation bias. And if you've got a perception that something is a certain way, you know, you're kind of more attuned to the news that will confirm that. So if you already think Dublin's a kind of a no-go, you see a story and you notice the stories that will confirm that. How much of your job is combating that misconception people have?
It's interesting. Look, I like to get the man on the street's opinion, and I like the public perception. I like to see the likes of that safety initiative that we brought in, and people going, oh, this is great for the city. Oh, yeah, that's good that you're doing this. And that's positive, you know. And then if I'm speaking to somebody even in a pub or whatever, I get a very different attitude from someone who's in their 50s than I do in their 20s. I said to somebody today, a younger person, I said, would this put you off going to the city? Well, it's terrible, but it wouldn't put me off. I'm still going to go out. Whereas somebody in there, oh yeah, it's a kip, told you it was, I'm not going in. You know, so there is that attitude as well. And maybe that's as you said, reinforcing their attitude. And they may never change, but, you know, I'm here to try and help keep those ones that are going out, keep them going out, and, you know, realise the extent of the size of the city and the nature of the city and the amount of things that are happening and all the good stuff that's happening as well. You know, it just takes one thing like this to put the reputation back. But, you know,
at the same time, I mean, if you could change the attitude of some of those people, it would be a great boon for the city, because I know yourself and others often talk about, you know, the need to move beyond the old fashioned idea of the nighttime economy just being one of kind of the pub and the club and nothing else, and, you know, encouraging galleries and museums and what have you to open later into the night.
That's something I'm talking about right at the minute. We're looking at introducing late galleries and museums in a coordinated approach.
Those 50s who are given out about the place being a kip have much more disposable income than people in their 20s.
And they can get into
it
free.
You want to get them in.
You can come to a gallery for free. You can go into a museum for free. You know, there is stuff. There's great restaurants around. There's places like Cable Street and Parnell Street. Great value to be had. People give out, well, everything's too expensive, but there actually is great value to be had out there. I think this is another argument for staggered closing at times, because again, people out in the street half 2-3 o'clock in the morning, everyone out in the street at the same time, thrown out of the club. There's a bunch of clubs in that area. There's a lot of people for the guards to deal with all at the same time. I was in Amsterdam, I was in Groningen there a couple of months ago, and they're staggered right across the board. Close 11, close at 1, close at 3, close at 6, close at 8, whatever. And there's no glut of people on the street at 2-3 o'clock in the morning or 12:30. It's spread out throughout the whole city, and there's a great atmosphere. Groningen in particular, like a great, lovely party atmosphere, just bubbles along for the night.
Yeah, well, you mentioned, say, Groningen there. I mean, how does Dublin compare to other European cities in terms of safety at night?
Well, actually, statistically, and I didn't want to come on here and say, oh, statistically it is.
I know, because we're dealing with somebody who's died over the weekend,
and that's
so
not
it's awful.
Fair, and I can't say that. But, you know, we are, and, you know, on your homicide levels, we actually are below. Well below European average, believe it or not. So I think there was some report I saw there, we were 20th out of 32 cities or something, you know, so we actually are below average and crime in general. So that's again putting things into perspective, that it's not Gotham City out there. Like, these incidences will still occur, but hopefully, you know, we can, you know, there's a task force recommendation out there. I've been privy to those conversations, the Taoiseach's task force, and they've recommended more guards on the street. And maybe that'll come in, maybe just a little bit more. That's going to help as well, you know.
Ray O'Donoghue, Dublin's Nighttime Economy Advisor. Ray, listen, thanks a million for joining us.
No problem. Thanks, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.